all, not one, not two, not ten, not hundreds, but all the power of the enemy. So I began to pray. That was when I began to pray. And it took a long time. It was August last year. It took such a long time. There was a time, because I have a little covenant with the Lord, that I just want him to heal me. I don't like going to the GP. I don't like going to the doctors. The only other time I went to hospital was when I was having my babies, and I had to have the doctor because I could never have babies normally. I had to have a cesarean each time. So I said I was going to trust the Lord through this. I almost broke. I did take, I must tell you, I took painkillers, because one of my friends said to me, you have to take two ibuprofen and two paracetamol at once. So I said, wow, this is me, from not even taking one tablet, now I'm taking four and I'm depending on it, waiting for the next time. That was how bad, excruciating pain it was. But then towards the end, around September, somebody, she's an unbeliever. So I said to her about my leg, and she was saying to me, well, I hope, she's an English lady, I hope you're not taking ibuprofen. I said, yes, I am. She said, well, 19% of heart disease is given, is gotten by ibuprofen. It's been proven. It just came out in the news last night. She said, I never take ibuprofen. I only take aspirin. That's been proven over the years, hundreds of years, Bala. You can't have ibuprofen. I said, this has to be the Lord talking. So I had to stop the tablet. Now, I stopped it, but I still had the pain. So we had to go for it. But then there was a point in time where my sister was putting pressure. Even my mom, who was with me initially in the journey of, yeah, we'll pray, we'll trust the Lord. She said, why don't you just go to the doctors? Let them have a look. Sorry, Brother Richard. Let them just have a look and make sure that there is nothing wrong. I said, Mom, you're saying this. You know, my sister was having a go. And then one, as we were coming back, I was going to break. I was really going to do it. But I saw myself in a dream, a little dream. I slept in the car just a few minutes, and I saw myself as a little girl. And I had, my husband and a few others had made up their mind that we must take this decision. And we took the decision, and I was in tears. You know, I could see big, you know, tears coming down my eyes. So I said, no, okay, I don't think this way, it's painful this way, but I don't think that way is the way, you know. So we had to settle it at that point, that we're going to, it's just going to be the Lord, he's going to take me through, you know. And coming back to the story of tribulation, trials, you know, it was a big trial for me. Sometimes I would get up and say, I must run down those stairs, you know. And then I'll be hobbling down, you know, or hobbling up, or whatever, you know. But he took me through the day. I don't know how he did it. By September, I had to drive, because I had to take my children from Luton to Bedford. We had to take some days off my driving just to give the leg a rest, so they would take the train sometime. You know, but the Lord is faithful. Brethren, the Lord is faithful. The fact that I'm standing on my two legs. And today I was jumping, you know. When I can jump, I do jump. Because I get excited. You know, and then through that period, the Lord began to speak to me this scripture. I would just wake up in the morning and say, and his ankle bones receive strength. You know. So I said, God, what are you talking about, ankle bones? I'm talking about my knee. But I didn't know that the ankle was, because I just know I had pain in the whole leg. You know, it was just painful. So when it came twice, I said, there's something the Lord is trying to say to me about my ankle. Then I remembered that I had done my ankle in on that walk. So I began to pray for my ankle. I began to pray for my knee and my ankle. And I just want to give God the glory. I can jump. Yeah. You know, the other day I ran down the stairs and I said, look, I'm running. down the stairs, you know. I can jump, I can leap, I can do all that. It's only by His grace. I believe the devil wanted to actually paralyze the leg. You know, I saw a lady the other day, she had, her leg was all withered, you know, really withered, and she had a stick. And I turned my eye, and it had an impression in my spirit that that's exactly what the enemy had planned. But I want to give God the glory. He has restored it. Daily I receive strength. It's not 100%, but daily, this is nothing compared to what happened to me.
Amen.
So I just want to give God the praise. I just want to worship Him. Hallelujah. You know, and this song, I will sing that song. It's a little song that we used to sing in Sunday school. What's this? That song about the man. Come on, help me. Jumping and lifting. Come on, help me. Quickly. Jumping and...
The rope is still there.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for being an opportunity this evening to be a nation, children of God. For over 40 years, I didn't know anything about this way. Just going to church, going to fellowship, and things like that. But Tabernacle. I never knew anything about it. But I thank God that every day, especially when they are talking about it, I'm so excited. For the past 3 or 4 weeks in our house, we've been praying and fasting concerning this conference. And I've been so excited since last week.
Praise the Lord.
That when I was excited, that it knew something about to happen. But God didn't tell me anything. But as well, we went to visit those people that came from India, Abyss India or China, India. We went to visit them about 2 weeks ago. I said, somebody, God will do something. Because some people from China, from India, coming because of this conference. I said, something is about to happen. And people came, you know, they continue to come, you know, from US, from, you know. And I'm so happy that my children, my grandchildren, they took part. And they are taking part.
Amen.
And I know that they will continue in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And my elder daughter, we invited her, give me excuses, this and that. But when she came yesterday, I was so surprised. She was drawing tabernacle, making notes, thinking, thank God, this is where I have been. This is why I have been excited concerning this conference. I just thank God that God answers prayer, because my elder daughter, I don't know, I won't say anything. But for her to come, and she was so, when she didn't get so much, it's something to remember yesterday. So I said that when you get to, let us know. She sent a text, but I didn't read the text until this morning. Then I said, thank God. I hope he had a great time in his presence. He said, definitely. I have even been reading the notes and things like that. I said, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Secondly, our own son and the wife, they came this morning. They were here, you know. Then I was so excited. They too came. This is your conference. People from India came. And look at the whole crowd. God is moving in our midst. So as I was escorting them out, She said that I must get the tape of where go and ask her aunt that she get. He came back. Then he was asking you. He was how to get it. So I really thank God that God is so faithful as he's doing this in my, because as Brother said that is what is given his children in the kingdom.
Amen.
That he has no car, he has no, the same thing. I have no car, I have no landed property, I have, but this is what God has given me to give to my children, my grandchildren. And I'm so happy about it, that God is doing this in my presence. I know that we continue to do greater things in their own presence, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I suspect there's been a lamb in this household.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
There's more, I'm sure. Oh, here, little sister has a word.
Smile.
I am.
That's what I'm saying. You're giving us a smile.
Oh no, go ahead. Go ahead. You made a good start. Just pretend you're talking to your friend.
Hello. My name is Jane.
Oh, do you have a song for us?
She had a dream.
You have a dream.
Dream.
We have to know what that dream is?
That's someone else did it.
We didn't know your dream.
Somebody else can't do it because you dreamt the dream.
Continue now.
We wanted her to say, well, you can do it, isn't it?
No.
Okay, well, she had a dream some weeks ago. That's what she was telling me now. But she shared with her. She said she had a dream some few weeks ago, and then she saw the coming of the Lord at the end of the age. And that she saw four people.
Okay.
Yeah,
come on up.
Yeah.
Well, I'll
show you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Share together.
Okay. Go ahead.
Four people. It was the end of the world. And there's four people, and three people were ready, and one person wasn't ready. So the person was just standing there. Wow, he saw the other three souls, like people, got to heaven, and the father was just there. Like. And then I saw some big golden weird hairstyle and a golden face, and saw another one, but that one didn't talk. Anyway, and I saw a cloud. It was gold. And he said, and when the person saw it, the person now ran to the house, got a Bible and started reading the Bible like crazy, so he can go to heaven as well. But the golden face came and said, you're too late.
Do you have anything to add, Ike?
No, it was quite a sobering dream, because she was saying that she saw the Lord coming, and three people were ready. One person wasn't ready. The person that wasn't ready now ran to get the Bible, to begin to read the Bible, to get ready.
No.
But the Lord said it was too late, and left. Praise the Lord.
So people are giving testimonies of overcoming. Here you are, up here already.
Hallelujah. It was quite a sobering thought. And the Lord is encouraging all of us to overcome. Encouraging us to, this is a time to seek Him. This is a time to pant for Him as a deer pant for water.
Amen.
This is a time to, like Brother Buck was saying, to rearrange all our programs and seek the Lord. And sometimes it may look quite daunting, you know, because you may have programs arranged, visions, dreams, what you plan to do, how you plan to live. But God is wanting us to, you know, to be careful, you know, in our ambitions, in our goals, and also in our time that we freely want to give to Him. You know, He said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, and I just pray that God will give us the grace to honestly seek Him. You know, I've been going through the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm amazed, you know, at the words of Moses. You know, Moses, each time the Lord would give a word to Moses, you know, and encourage the children of Israel to contend in battle with King Sihon. Says to them, engage him in battle.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Engage this king in battle. And I was wondering, but Lord, I mean, can't you yourself do the battle? He said, no. You have to engage this king in battle. Hallelujah. You have to engage again in battle. And you know the battle in your life that you need to confront. You know, you need to engage this king in battle. The Lord has promised us to give us the promised land. You know, that's a promise He has made. But to work it out, we have to arise in warfare. And one thing that the Lord has taught me is if you don't deal with the nations will turn around to deal with you. Hallelujah. King Saul had opportunity to slay all the Amalekites, destroy them. But he missed the opportunity. And they were the ones that killed him. And also, the Lord was also bringing to my attention, I think it was in Samuel, where, brother, you know, we have to constantly overcome. Overcoming is not one process, it's a lifestyle. Hallelujah. And I think it was in 1 Samuel, I don't know where it is in the first verse. You know, David overcame Goliath. But you know that the brother of Goliath nearly killed David later on. He nearly killed David, another giant. It was one of his men that rose up and took a spear and killed the giant. So we have to learn to constantly trust the Lord in overcoming day by day. Hallelujah. You overcome one today doesn't mean that's the end of the battle. We are in a fight. We're in a warfare. You know, and I was so amazed that this giant, you know, David would, I mean, if David had killed Goliath, you would have thought that would have been the end of the battle. But the Bible says that Goliath,
his brother, a giant, was nearly killed David. Nearly killed him. So, brother, we have to be very careful. And also, to what God has taught me is also to be very careful not to be entangled again with the things he has set me free from. Believe me, never to be entangled again with what, you know, God has set me free from. And it's very easy to form a habit, a character trait. Very, very easy. But God is warning. And what did I do for myself is, you know, Paul said, let every man examine himself. One thing I do is, when I see, you know, when I see something coming through, and I know that I might be entangled by it, I honestly begin to deliberately pull back. Because it might look harmless. It might look, in fact, it might look like in business, where we do business, you know, you hear what they will say, this is a no-brainer. This is just a done deal. It's, I mean, in fact, it's not even a prayer point, because you think you're confident that this thing is just nothing. But God is warning to be very careful. Very, very, very careful. You know, and there are habits, and those habits cannot go except you deliberately come to the Lord. He says that, you know, he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. There must be in my heart a desire to overcome, a desire to give up, to let go. When Jesus met a blind man, Bartimaeus, I was telling this with my daughter on Friday before we came here. He asked the blind man. The blind man was heard that Christ was passing by, and he began to cry that, Jesus, have mercy upon me. And the Bible said that the multitude told him to keep quiet. Keep quiet. Remain in your blindness. Keep quiet. Don't disturb the master. Just be quiet. And those multitudes can be smartphones. It can be WhatsApp group. It can be your lifestyle. It can be your pleasure. It could be your sleep. That tells you, keep quiet. Don't disturb the master. See, the multitude said to them, don't disturb the master. Allow him to go through. But guess what he did? He cried the more. And you see, the devil knows, and heaven knows those cries. Those cries that bring deliverance, believe me, you yourself also know it. So when you want to serve God with your whole heart, God knows. The spirits, they can discern your heart. They can discern that this man is not sincere. The Lord asked him. The Lord came and saw him that he was blind. And then said, I thought the Lord would have said, you're blind. Let me heal you. But the Lord said, what would you want me to do for you? I said, no, Lord, please. No, Lord. Don't give me that. This man is blind. You can see him blind. He said, but what would you want me to do for you? No, Lord, please. Let's be serious. This man is blind. The Lord said, no, what would you want me to do for you? And it's for a reason. It's for a reason. Because you see, some people can hold on to a spirit that gives them pleasure. and don't want to let go. The Lord wanted him to say with his own mouth that I am blind. Please, Lord, can I see? Can I see? I heard of a story of a sister that was having issues in her life. And the brethren will pray and bind. Pray and bind. But she wasn't getting healed. The Lord gave a word of knowledge and said, ask her. But she wants to be free. And she confessed and said, when they have prayed me for healing, I have in my heart a reservation. Because if I am healed, I might lose government benefit.
Uh-huh. Oh yes. I heard that.
Jeremiah said the heart of man is what? Desperately wicked. Somebody needs healing in their life. A prayer has been prayed. The devil wasn't blocking it, but they themselves were blocking the prayers from going through. The Lord is asking, what do you want me to do for you? He knows. He sees the blindness, but you have to. Paul said in Romans 10, with the heart we believe, with the mouth confession is made unto deliverance, salvation. What would you have me do? What would you have me do? And the man said to the Lord, Lord, restore my eyes. Samson was blind. He asked the Lord for my two eyes. Restore my vision. Give me restoration. Blind Bartimaeus cried. And you see, when you cry, there's a cry unto God. You will know that honest cry in your heart. You will know. There's a cry to God. You cry for deliverance. To know God. To press on to Him. You will know that cry. You know, and I pray, brother, that God would. You know, something that God spoke to Samuel. He said, to those who are cunning, I will show myself cunning. To those who wants to trick God, God says, I would show myself trickish. Those that want to be honest, He will show Himself as honest. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Brother, let's seek God. Let's love the Lord. Let's pant for Him as a deer pant for water. And let's also make our time to seek Him. Believe me, we live in an age where time is being choked. But I saw somebody's WhatsApp DP. He says that everybody have time for the priorities of life they put their mind to. We have time, believe me. You may think, oh, I don't have, you know, you have time. I find myself years ago, I cannot go to bed without reading Nigerian newspapers on the computer. No matter how tired I am, I must read Nigerian news before I go to bed. No matter how tired I am, I just can't. It's just part of me. I would, no matter how I'm staggering, I said, let me look at the headline news. And my grandmother in the village, they had a proverb. They said that in the village in those days, a woman would be going to important function in another town. And they will pass through the market square, the market, and they will see a sort at the edge of the market. They say, let me just buy this sort and continue my journey. And they put their leg in here and get the sort. And then they look there and say, oh, let me get this pepper. They put their leg in there to get the pepper. Oh, let me get that meat. Before they know it, they are at the center of the market. They are at the middle of the market. And distractions. Where they're going to? They forget about where they're going to. Just one news. Before you know it, you are in bed by 2 a.m. 2 a.m. I mean, so if I have the pleasure for the news, I can train myself.
Amen.
Unto godliness.
Hallelujah.
Paul told Timothy that godliness,
amen,
has a great reward. Not only in this present age, but the one to come. Godliness, seeking God, loving God, has a great reward. Praise the Lord. Brother, you know, I'm quite you know, when I looked at Deuteronomy in the last few days, I was so amazed by Moses and what he wrote. You know, today we broke bread and had communion. The Lord gave me an understanding about him and his body. You know, when Brother Sadi read that scripture, he says, do this in remembrance of me. And if you read the book of Deuteronomy, he kept talking about remembering the Lord. Israel kept forgetting. Remembering the Lord. Remembering the Lord. So today we're going to come coming today. The Lord was telling me about, you know, when you read that scripture, about remembering the Lord as you eat and as you drink. You know, it's meant to, because see, when you remember the Lord in everything you do, in your lifestyle, in your work pattern, everything you do, you put the Lord first. You know, you remember him, you know, in your thought pattern and say, Lord, have your way. Have your way. Have your way in my life. You know, brother, I just pray that God will touch us to give him time to love him, to especially the younger ones, the youth. You know, I was telling someone, I said that scripture I read, godliness has a great reward. When I was in Nigeria, I was quite, I was rough. And when I met the Lord, it changed everything about my life completely. I remember when I was in secondary school, I could not do my, you know, high school exam. They call it WAEC. Because I was expelled from the school. And I remember getting born again. And when I became born again Christian, before then, there is no door my parents will lock that I don't have my own master key. I can mold key. Not, I mold keys. I melt the chemicals, put it in this way we get the listing at the mold, and pour it in there, and get a file to file the keys to open any door. We mold keys and open doors. And I remember I love reggae music. You know, there's one I sing that I have cocaine running around my brain. I love it. you know, you have cocaine run around your brain. My goodness. And I remember that particular song. And during lesson in school, I would leave the lessons to go, because that time in Nigeria, they have FM stations. Between 11 to 12 is when they play those reggae music, Bob Marley and co. I would leave lectures back to my dormitory to listen to that reggae music. And I remember the school calling us out and having, you know, in school, I don't eat school food, I cook in school. I remember a student coming in to our dormitory to share our food. We told him he should go away. He went and that killed the chicken of the teacher to make his own food. Because he said that he came to our dormitory, we refused to give him our food. So he went and killed the teacher's chicken to cook stew, and they caught him. And he said, it's me and my mates that made him to kill the chicken, because we are abusing him. So they came to my hostel and took the pot of soup, took the stew, and brought it to the school assembly hall. The whole school assembly hall, brought it there. And we were there, and they called us out, four of us, in the dormitory, so in the whole school, with a pot of stew and black pot, you know, just half stew. It was so embarrassing. So we came out there, and when we came out there, they now said they will give us 12 lashes. And I came out. You know, the youth, believe me, as I came out there, my mates came out, they flogged them, they were doing like this. I came out, and I was like this. They gave me one, I was motionless. Two, three, the whole school was in uproar. They were screaming my name. But the pain was so much on me. The pain was heavy, but because I'm meant to be strong boy, I was like this. Four, five, six, the school was screaming, the roof was falling off, the boys calling my name Ogunabale, that's it. And the name means killer in the night. Ogunabale, killer in the night. So they're screaming my name, and demons are real. I was getting energy. I was like this. They were flogging me. I never showed any emotion. After the 12 lashes, I turned and walked away. Hey, they screamed my name. But the pain was there, heavy pains. And then as I was walking out, they said, you have been expelled from the school. Expelled. My parents didn't even know I have been expelled from school. They didn't know. So I didn't take WAEC. Didn't take my exams. But I was roaming around. One day I was in the house of my sister in Owerri. I sat down in a chair like this. And the fear of death gripped me. I thought the ground would open and I would fall in. I was literally scared of life. I didn't know why, from nowhere. I sat down there. The first told me that the ground would open and I would fall in. I stood up. You know, I was scared. The next morning, I ran to a preacher from America that came. I said, I want to be born again. He prayed for me. And before then, I used to mock Christians that pray in tongues. I would say, shala, 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 shala. I would pray in my draft. I'm very good in draft. I won't be in school. I will be among drunkards drinking, and I believe I can drink. Hey! I will drink beer and beer and beer, and after drinking the beer, I will vow never again, because I will be thrown off the next day. But after some few hours, I will drink again. I didn't like it, but I couldn't stop it. I will be drinking. And then I remember, I will mock Christians. But that day, I was prayed for, I became born again. I went for a meeting of a full gospel. When I was in that full gospel meeting, the preacher preached, and I came out to give my life to Jesus Christ and to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We all came out. By the time I looked around, it was only me there screaming in tongues. In the whole assembly, I was the only one there praying in tongues. From then onwards, I remember I had a friend, a girlfriend. She was passing through my house. I had a sticker, Jesus Saves. You know, in Nigeria, they give you one big banner to show you're born again.
Yes, you must show it.
Not that you're born again in the heart. In Nigeria, you're born again outwardly.
You
must show you're born again. So they said that if you don't put a sticker on, that means
you are
ashamed of Jesus. And that is good, you know. So I had that big sticker here, Jesus is love. Then my girlfriend was passing by. And I quickly got my Bible to cover it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. I did like this. Remove the Bible from covering the sticker. And she looked at me and just walked away and walked past me. From then onwards, I now began to read my Bible and began to go for, and I enrolled to do what they call extramural classes. Remember that I don't have any qualification. All I have was, I've got cooking running around my brain. No whatsoever qualification. Then when I was there, I began to enroll in school to do my GCSEs from home. But when I met the Lord, you know, the Bible says that godliness has a great reward.
Mm.
Not only in this earth.
Yeah,
that means even in this earth, it does.
Yes.
And they want to come.
Yeah.
Do you know that then I began to read my book and focus on the word of God. I will lie on the carpet and I will devour my Bible. And I did my qualification, GCSE. I got my papers. I got about 2 A's. Got some C's and B's. I got my GCSE. And I began to walk in full gospel in Nigeria. And in full gospel, I was there walking with all my heart. My mates were all university in uni. I remember one man came to me and said to me, are you not wasting your time in this place working for the Lord when you should be in university? And the Lord said to me, you are not. Because I cried to God. I said, God, look at what's happened to me. They said I'm wasting my time serving you. And I was, and that time here, believing brethren, I mean, you are honest to God. I said, Lord, the Lord said, no, you're not. So when I was there in full gospel office, I began to do a follow-up class for new believers over the years. New Christians that get born again, they will come. And you will begin to ground them in the basic doctrines of the Lord. So, and people will come, you lay hands on them to pray for them, and they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I remember when I was there, that was where I met my wife. She became a believer, a new believer, and she was sent by her sister to come to see a brother that will help her She came in there and I taught her the scriptures. After about a few years, you know, we got married. I never had in mind that I would be in the UK. I never had in mind that I would go to school. I never had in mind that God can mold me like this. I went to Nigeria. I showed my son, my cousin in the village, that me and him used to drink beer. He still drinks beer. He's still dry. He is a drunkard. That could have been me. That could have been me. Till tomorrow, he is in the village. I saw my son. They call him Rushman. Daddy Rushman. Okay, he even knows. That was my cousin. We are mates. We were drinking in the village. But the Lord in his mercy responded to me. And he says, I will never doubt him. You know, God gave his hands out to me. And I took it. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the younger ones, you have a godly heritage.
Amen.
Love the Lord. I think what was saying, Robert, in your youth, love the Lord. Desire the Lord. Pant for him as a deer pant for water. Believe me, we have seen it. We have worn the t-shirts, have the badges. This life would offer you nothing except in Christ Jesus. Give him your heart. Don't serve him with you know, your heart being calling. Be honest to God. Give him your best. And when I became born again Christian, do you know something happened to me? When I came to Full Gospel then, I was shocked at the level of people I met that were born again. I thought that born again was for people who are dry, who don't have a vision, you know, but that was a surprise. You know, the young people then, you know, worshiping the Lord. So the young ones, you know, I would encourage you, love the Lord. Love the Lord. And just to end, after I became a Christian, God is teaching me something new. And that's in terms of being able to, you know, Christ told the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And that word there is every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Having the rhema of God's word. Having with God an intimate walk with the Lord. Hearing what God has to say in each matter, in each occasion. Lord, what is your mind concerning this? We are born again. You have freedom. I remember Brother Seal. Somebody asked him, can a Christian be possessed by a demon? He said a Christian can have whatever spirit he wants to have. Whatever you want to have, you can have it. Whatever you want to have as a Christian, you can have it. You know, and I pray that God will help us to desire the Lord. To desire the Lord. God said to Moses, He said, I am that I am. That means I am a living God. He wants to have with us a living relationship with him. Living one, day by day. Lord, what would you have me do in this matter? Lord, what would you have me go? Lord, where would you have me live? Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? Like I was telling Robert, you know, yesterday about You know, God is teaching me about being able to discern His voice, being able to hear Him speak expressly, hear Him give instructions, hear Him give direction, hear Him to say, "Oh, my son, this thing in your life is not right. Turn around. Turn around. This character trait in you is not right. Cry unto me for a change, for a deliverance. This habit you have, a sister had a habit, and I will end with that. She was in a fellowship, and she was incredibly stubborn to anybody. Very rude, very obnoxious, very, it's like her nature. That's me. That's where I am. And God gave her opportunities to change. And each occasion, she would turn them down. God told Solomon that these women you're marrying, they may look fine now, but in your old age, they will take your heart away from me. He thought he was a wise man. He had the end time word. But he had the end time word for every other person, but not himself. He wrote 300 poems for each of his concubines or wives. He had a wisdom for everybody, but not for himself. God told him, "This your wives, they will turn you away from you." He thought he was so wise. This sister, God warned her, but she will not change her character. She cried to God. I remember then, cried to God for a husband. Say, "God, I want a man." But God was delaying it to break her, to change her before she gets married. But she will not have the Lord. The Lord said, Oh Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you under my wings. But you will not allow me. But do you know that she refused? Every brother that comes her way, she will insult them. But she also wants to marry. Finally, the Lord gave her her heart's desire. Gave her a husband. Do you know that that nature which she refused the Lord to deal with when she was single, that same nature she took it into the marriage.
Yes.
That same nature. She had the opportunity over the years. The brothers got put with her in the fellowship. You know, David killed Goliath with 5 smooth stones. The stones were in the brook. Water was running over the stones to remove the rough edges. As we come together as brethren, we rub on each other to remove our rough edges. But she refused to receive of the Lord. She maintained, as long as it's your character, it is yours. You keep it. You keep it. It's your character. It's your nature. It's your character. Like, do you know that that character will embarrass you? I said, "God, help me." I said, "God, help my soul." Sometimes, you know, I see anger within me. Somebody provokes me, anger begins to swell. I said, "God, there's something in me that is not of you." Even if I've been provoked by somebody else, but if anger is me, God, there's something here you have to remove.
Amen.
And I yield to you not to do it now. Before it is too late. Before it embarrasses you. This sister got married. And she physically was so aggressive to the husband. And she would not listen to any counsel from anybody. No counsel. And guess what happened? The marriage broke. A marriage she has been crying to the Lord over the years for a husband. But because of a nature, she refused the love to change. The nature now moved from a singleness to married life. Demons can follow you. Demons follow you. Unless you begin to sincerely come to God. Say, God, I surrender this to you. Have your way, Lord God. Have your way. I surrender. I refuse this nature. I refuse, Lord, this grace within me. Lord, I yield to you. Have your way in my life. She refused to. She married. And she broke her home. And she's crying out, saying, Lord, one more chance. One more chance. So, brother, I just pray that God will help us. You know, we have opportunity. We have a privilege to come to God in sincerity, in honesty, and in prayers. Say, God, have your way in my life. Anything you see, cry to God about it. Don't say, Lord, oh, help me. God is asking you, what area do you need help?
Yes.
What would you want me to do for you? In some cases, some say, Lord, for my two eyes, restore my vision. In the black man, say, Lord, I want to see clearly. I want to have a vision of your kingdom. I want to, like Paul said, I want to give a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, that I might know the hope of your calling and your glorious inheritance in the saints and your incomparable great riches in Christ. We can only see it if our eyes are open. And that was what made Paul, when he is beaten in one city, he will say, this light affliction, he called it light affliction. I said, God, what is that? A man is being beaten, he's been shipwrecked. He said, it's a light affliction. Because he said, Lord, that I might know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. Brethren, there is great riches in God. He has made a banquet. He has given us, you know, ivy to come in, but we have to respond to him. We have been given by God great invitation to come and visit him. But we have to respond to God. And it's individual. It's individual response. I have to respond to God to fulfill the total will of God for my life and for your life. I said, God, I don't want to settle for anything less for your total counsel for my life. And if we say that from our heart, brethren, it would cost us something. David said, I will not offer unto my God a sacrifice that would cost me nothing. It's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. And it starts by, I've made up my mind to go the way and to surrender all. Not to keep back anything from the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord caused us to love him. The Lord caused us to open up to him. The Lord caused us, you know, to yield to him. You know. Praise the Lord.
One thing Ike started with, God telling Moses to contend with Og, and he forgot to tell you that Og was a giant bigger than Goliath. Wasn't he the fellow whose bed was 13 feet long? And
he was a mean, mean king. He didn't get to be king by being a smooth politician. He was the fiercest man in town, I believe. But what God was saying to Moses is pick a fight with him. And that's not the kind of a guy in your natural flesh that you want to go pick a fight with. That's not the big dog that's sleeping that you go and give him a kick. So I think what I'm hearing from Ikey is that he's contending with these spirits, even these giant spirits. They have to be dealt with. They cannot go into the kingdom of God with us. And I just thank you, Ikey. I really appreciate your testimony. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Still have time for one more testimony? If anyone has it. All right. It kind of could be encouragement as well. So, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye reigned as kings without us. And I to God ye did reign, that we also may reign with you. For I think that God hath set us forth as the last of, I think God hath set forth us the apostles last, as we were appointed to death, for we may be a spectacle unto the world, and angels to men, angels unto men. I think it was just verse 7 was like an encouragement for me, because it kind of to say that God's given us everything that we need, and just we need to have faith that He has.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians verse 7-9. But if you read the whole thing, it's better.
First
Corinthians chapter 4. You can read the whole thing, which I have, but I just picked out 7-9.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, I just have an inclination to pray for the ministry listed on this.